Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's 6 o'clock, and I'd like to welcome you all to the September 11th, 2023 meeting of the Berkshire County Board of Commissioners. We're delighted to have so many smiling faces and good looking folks sitting here before, and hopefully a lot of folks on our Zoom call as well. So we're going to get started with our meeting. First of all, I want to do a roll call, please, of commissioners.
Commissioner Monroe Robinson, present.
Commissioner John Trent, present.
Mike White, present.
Ron Weston, present. Commissioner Barris is not joining us yet. He may be on the way back to the front. Okay, but we have a forum, so we'll go forward. Next thing is, after welcoming all of you here, I'd like to give the invocation and the pledge myself. Let us pray. Heavenly Father and Eternal God, we bow our heads and humble submission to you. Father, we come just to say thank you, Father. Thank you for all of the many, many blessings that you give us. Lord, on this special day of remembrance, let us remember those lives lost in 9/11. Lord God, so many tragic deaths and due to terrorism. Lord God, we ask that you help heal all of those families who were impacted by this. And just let them know, Lord God, that you're still in charge. And Lord God, we ask that you special blessing to this meeting and to all the citizens who come before us today. Lord God, our will is to do your will, but at the same time, always do our very best to serve the citizens of this great family. We thank you for the blessings in your son, Jesus. Amen. Always on our agenda, we have two public comment sections, one at the beginning of our meeting and one at the end of the meeting. This is time for the public to bring any matters to our attention. So I'll open the floor for the first public comment section. It's 3 minutes maximum. If you have any comments, come before us, give your name, give your address, and let us know what's on your mind. Any public comments from the audience here first? All right. But if anything happens or said during the course of the meeting that, you know, piques your interest, or you have additional questions for, you always have enough of the comment section at the end of our meeting. All right. So, Joe, were there any public comments from citizens on Zoom?
I do not see any, Chairman.
Right. Thank you very much. Okay.
You're welcome.
We'll go then to our appointment and report section of our agenda. First up is a fleet management update by Chrissy Hawk, Senior Client Strategy Manager for Enterprise Fleet Management. Ms. Hawk.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So you guys partnered with us about 8 years ago. Congratulations, you were the first county to partner with Enterprise Fleet Management. No one likes being the first, so thank you. A lot has changed over the past 8 years since you partnered, though. So since that time, we've had about 100 different government entities, including cities, towns, and counties that have partnered with us. And there's a couple things that I want to discuss tonight that I really think you're missing out on, because we're doing it with a lot of other cities, towns, and counties. So just real quick, I want to talk about the services that we offer and then what you're taking advantage of. The first thing is vehicle acquisition. So we secure vehicles on your behalf from the dealers that are on state contract and sheriff contract pricing. So same pricing as you would typically get, but we get to do all the legwork and find vehicles for you. Of course, it's been very difficult over the past 3 years getting vehicles. We've had numerous cancellations. You know, there's getting ready to be a strike possibly. There's just been so much going on. So we have done that part for you and find vehicles and have plan A, plan B, plan C. So you've been using us for that and financing. So I don't know if it's the same board members from 8 years ago, but I do want to let you know the reason why you partnered with us is we were able to take your existing budget and get more vehicles with the same budget. So that was one of the main reasons why he partnered with us. So there are two things that I want to talk about today that you're really missing out on. And one is our maintenance program. So Enterprise has a program that most of our government clients are on. And basically what it is you take the vehicle to the shop, Enterprise negotiates the price for you, Enterprise pays the bill, and then we bill you for it. Now, the reason why it's important for us to get involved is, a couple things. It's more we make sure that you're not paying sell-ups. I don't know if you've ever been to a shop where they try to sell you up on a brake fluid flush or you need windshield wipers when you really don't, things like that. So we're preventing sell-ups, but then all of the data is housed on our website. So if anyone in your departments wants to see what they're spending on maintenance, all they have to do is log in and it ranks your maintenance spend from highest to lowest. So we can instantly look and see, okay, what vehicles are costing the most money to operate? Data is key when we're talking about when to replace a vehicle. So that's one program. It's $6 per month per vehicle. So you've got about 65 vehicles in fleet. So do the math for the year. You know, it really isn't expensive when you look at the program benefits. One thing that we do that I think is a service that you don't currently have is if we've got a vehicle that's right outside of warranty, if we've got your maintenance records, we will go directly to the manufacturer on your behalf and ask for assistance. We did this recently for another town, and we're able to get $9,000 covered just by us getting involved. Now, it's not going to happen every time. We may not be able to help you, but at least you know that you've got someone in your corner that's going to be able to help you with this. Before I move on from maintenance, do you have any questions? Hartford County. Well, Mr. Cotton left Onslow County and he took us with him. So we were with Hartford County as well. Granville County most recently. So it makes sense just having that information. The second thing that I want to talk about in the last is our fuel program. You are currently on the WEX program through the state. The reason why it is important for you to be on our program is the data that comes in. So every time one of your employees pumps fuel, the mileage flows into our website. If you're on our maintenance program, then it will alert them when it's time to get an oil change. It'll alert them when it's time to get preventative maintenance done. The only way that we will know the mileage on the vehicle is from WEX. That's the only way that we know what your mileage is. Without it, we have to guesstimate of how many miles you go within a certain amount of period to remind you that it's time to get an oil change and things like that. With our mobile app, it's free. It will alert you when it's time for, if there's a recall, if it's time for an inspection, for certain vehicles that may need an inspection. There are a couple of discounts there's one discount that you would lose by joining our program with WEX. With WEX, you're on the state account and you get about 1% back. You would not get that 1% anymore by partnering with Enterprise. But I know that we can save you more than 1%. And how we're going to do that is several different ways. It's one, maintenance. If we can prevent one maintenance issue from happening by knowing your mileage, hey, this driver is 8,000 miles past due for an oil change. That's going to pay for it alone. The other thing is underutilization. All departments like to keep their vehicles, I understand. But if we notice that a vehicle is underutilized, does this department need this vehicle or can it be shared with two different departments instead of having two vehicles? Could you use one? So there's a lot of data that we use with the fuel card and the maintenance, and they communicate with each other. So that's really my goal for today, because I really feel like you're missing out with what a lot of other government clients are taking advantage of, and that's the data with maintenance and fuel.
Have you shared the cost savings for cost of these additional items with our management team today?
Yes.
Okay, so why don't you guys have that? And
I think it's a very strong program, and I would strongly recommend that we incorporate all of it.
Okay. Well, we'll take a little closer look at that. I would think more of that. take a recommendation from our administrative team to see if we should pursue it. But thank you for agreeing this to us.
Yeah.
We enjoy not just the savings, but, you know, when we heard of the possibility of this, we jumped on it. This sounds like the right thing to do.
I tell you, well, my own private force has worked for the county. I mean, I know if I had vehicles didn't get here, they came in, passed the budget, blah, 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 and wanted the next year's budget instead of this year's budget, the vehicles are sitting there. And for a company like that, private force work in Canada, I think, I saved us $100,000 of value. And you can
do it for us, but more information than that. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
That's
what
we know.
I'm just so, it was so right. You go to get your vehicle service, if they not need number one thing, they come back with a list.
Yep.
You know, so,
yep.
And what you're saying is very true.
Exactly. You. Yeah, you're welcome. Reach out to me if you have any questions. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next on our appointments agenda is Stephanie Harmon. This is for the Peanut Bellhart Human Technical Coordinating Committee. It is Ms. Harmon. And what is it? And how did you might want to speak to this? Or
sure, I will. It was my understanding that Ms. Harmon was going to come before the board this evening to share with you the need for the board to appoint someone to the seat on the Peanut Bell. Role playing organization for the seat that was previously held by former Commissioner Tammy Lee. And so, my understanding, she was coming just to speak with you all about that. Again, the board just appointed someone by, for that seat, formerly held by Tammy.
One thing I'll say to the board, this is a very important seat. And it must be filled by a city commission. And it's an important time to want this. Because they're looking at some legislation right now that's going to need to be voted on in terms of what projects get done first, what is the priority. So we get a chance to voice and setting that priority around roads and purpose fixed and whatever. In fact, we just sent, I guess about within the last month, the notice of their meeting to the public, so the public can have input to it. So we would need someone on this board to feel and represent the county in terms of, you know, whatever, you know, what do we think about the priorities and consent of the roads in this county. So it's an important decision. And Tammy did a great job. She's a lot of city things. So we will have to any volunteers who can take those names now. But if anybody would like to take about it, either you get volunteer or voluntold?
Well, most chairman of the board, I served 10 years with LCBOT as a right of way where I acquired property to be built in Division 1, 14 counties. You know, it's the pleasure of the board, and I'll sit there.
You notice I'm sorry, I couldn't look at your direction. Your experience, Johnny Bronson, would be perfect for this.
Unless it was one way to vote, well, she will do it.
Okay. Has it been made? Second that. Moving properly, second. All those in the favor of appointing Commissioner Ron Robinson to the board of the RPO on Technology Operating Committee, I'll please say aye. All those opposed, nay. I said it. Thanks, sir. And we'll check the date. Ron, I know you got the email too. I called the David about their meeting coming up. That is a very, very difficult meeting. But they have listed all of the topics, right? I mean, all the highways. So a lot of them, I think, you might have a stronger priority than they are. So, coming up, item 3 is Robin May.
Hello, Robin.
Hello, everyone.
I'm going to give us an update on
Okay. Tall glass of water.
We got our last item delivered last week. Anthony took the beach mat. It's a 6.5 foot wide by 50 foot long semi-permanent beach mat. It's heavyweight, but it's great for wheelchairs. So it attaches to the base of the ramp, rolls out for 50 feet. It's great. People who want to, you know, who are having trouble navigating a SAM. So with that, that brings our last major purchase. All of our grant targets have been completed. We're just in the process of closing out each of the grants. That's going to take a few months. Each of them, there's five different grants. Each has a different closeout date. They have to have site meetings, site review. So we're in the process of scheduling that. Few little things down at Tall Glass of Water, you know, we have a sign repair. Donna sent in a picture, or somebody did. I think Scott may have. Had a one person actually drive down to the beach on the CAFCO. So I think we may be looking at some fencing, try to control traffic on the CAFCO. The CAFCO is the semi-porous aggregate it's stabilized that goes down to the beach. They drove around. Right. So security cameras are up, but they're not catching everything. So we might need to look at fencing or but we'll get there. Donna and I also, in preparation for the river manager position that needs to be posted, we came up with a paragraph we feel would be it's a good narrative to attract the type of person that we're looking at down there. Bertie County in the maintenance division is looking for a river manager to provide on-site management, Tall Glass of Water project, location. Position requires a knowledge and liking of the natural outdoors, especially with the core activities at the project, which are camping, hiking, kayaking, and swimming. Position also requires interacting with the public and being able to answer outdoor-related questions about Bertie and the park. And ability to handle equipment, mower, tractor, weed eater as necessary. And then Donna has a real intensive list of what the main duties are. So I'm not sure of what the process is for posting the job, but when that's ready to be posted, we have the information ready.
Yes. Okay. So it's usually posted on our website. So if you give that to make sure Donna has it, Donna should give it to me or now actually our new HR director.
Okay. I mean, we just did this today, so we're good.
I'm not sure that has been determined yet.
Okay. We looked, did some research on other forestry positions. And I say forestry, just the type of activities or, you know, that we need down there. So that's what it normally would be called, forestry, you know, management or something. But and it seemed like the salaries were in line with what you're going to be asking for. So, okay. Let's see, no date yet on the controlled burn. Still waiting on the paperwork. Yes. Yeah. And then, of course, this Friday, we'll be submitting our broadband request. It's for the fiber to go in the conduit, and the conduit's already existing. So it's a non-construction project. Roanoke Electric gave us a quote for that. Vibe, yes. Pardon me. Like vibe. Okay. Vibe. Okay, the last thing we need to talk about is state historic preservation. And that is the requirement that we have an archaeological review done for the entire 147 acres. We are paying the consultant $7,700 via grant funds because it's part of a permit request from two different, one is from our CAMA major permit process, and the other is a grant that was the Land and Water Conservation Fund that requires a letter from SHPO. We can't get the letter without them
having a more formal review done of the entire 147 acres. I sent everyone an email the other day. If you'd like, I can read you, Susan, Ms. Bauman's email. Basically, okay. They are looking at about 120 shovel tests. It takes about a week to do this. It won't be over $25,000, but we have to do it. Unfortunately, we can't piecemeal this. I feel like, or I know, if we do it now, the entire 147 acres, every time we submit a grant, we've got what we need to not hold up the process.
Why don't you speak as briefly to the reason we're doing this, the benefit of that? Because, you know,
okay.
Discussing the last meeting, there's some concern, but the benefit far that we've done far outweighs the impact.
Well, sure. So total loss of water has been determined based on preliminary archaeological study that it is site Y. It is a state archaeological significant resource, Native American through a European settlement, and upwards for North Carolina state, settlement, founding fathers, et cetera. And when we are planning structures, we do not want to negatively impact any of those archaeological resources. So if we have plans to put any kind of a bulldozer in the ground, we need to know that we're not digging into sensitive area. So that's why all of this research is being done.
When we built an EMS station,
right,
on the building company, the mechanical road, we had to do something.
Right.
I'm going to build a gear heavy there now, great up grave sites,
right,
things out of work, they were archaeological facts. Hence, the city can't do this. It's not a legal approach to have to do that.
Right.
The fact that this is having a very important sort of site. There's been a benefit
to park. Well, and certainly, as you all have said in the past, you want to preserve, you know, the integrity of what you've got, whether it's a natural resource or an archaeological resource. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're doing. We went ahead with phase one construction because we knew it didn't impact negatively any archaeological resource. The bigger question is identifying funding for this to move forward. So, I do not know of any grant that we can apply for. Okay. This is just received. I think Juan and I can talk, David, about budgeting, maybe how we can do this. But I know we're going to need it to move forward. So. Okay, what did you say, October 6th?
16th.
Okay. Okay. All right. Strategic planning and special projects. Two things that are core to our strategic planning process is housing and industry identification. So we took a minor detour from identifying the big picture strategic plan, and we're taking the opportunity to jump on two applications. And one is a housing partnership for producing a plan with ECU, Merrill Flood's program, on identifying not just what the housing situation is in Bertie, but what can we do on many different diverse housing fronts. How can we move forward?
We have already aided to be a member of this group. Enables
to make
it more likely to get
Well, our fee for this 3-month program with ECU is $3,300. So, Juan, you have the papers for that. That's been identified, the funding in the economic development budget. Once we get Mr. Vaughn to sign off, we can move forward. Flood. Mr. Flood has an intensive housing background of different priced projects. What we need to do is identify property, price point, but also infrastructure needed to make it attractive to move whatever type project forward. So this is the paperwork we need. We've got a three-month window to do it. The industry identification is a Golden Leaf grant under their site program. It's due on Friday. We're working on it. We're halfway through. We're ready to submit on time. And that will help us identify, again, specific properties, infrastructure needed, because we can't get funding for infrastructure to support any kind of economic development until we've got mapping costs, preliminary estimates. So let's see, coastal resiliency, that was the funding that we received from the Coastal Resiliency Flood Program under Office of Coastal Management. George Wood Environmental Professionals completed that plan. The target was Cucklemaker Swamp, and we're going to be tagging it in with Hoggart's Mill, because together they create or support, they'll have a tremendous flood resiliency impact. So that report is now done. It's into the grantor, and we'll be closing out that pretty soon. What we're doing now is waiting for the BRIC notification. It's the federal grant. That will be planning money, $125,000, that we can do an entire hydrology study. We do have a hydrologist, Mr. Andy Deal, coming in mid-October to look at doing just that. What's it going to cost us to do a hydrology study throughout the entire Kishai River Basin? So that will support each of our projects that we need to complete, whether it's Siding Road or Hoggart's Mill or Cucklemaker.
Housing youth are still signed up to go to the housing and Boston,
right,
et cetera, in Washington.
Correct. Correct. End of October.
I am not going. I'm going to the one that's up the hill.
Okay.
It's on how the most advanced back in state.
Okay.
So I think we'll be covering both sides, the federal side and the top of the main space.
All right. Good. Let's see, Destination Bertie, this is the travel and tourism project. We received two proposals today. We'll be working with the committee through the next 2 weeks to dig in and compare the two. And then we'll recommend a firm for the board to approve. Okay.
Question for us?
Yes. You are most welcome. I'm not done yet. I'm getting tired. Okay, occupancy tax, vacationers tax. I do not remember the date, but it's mid-October. Magellan Strategy is coming to begin work with the committee that we're forming. So he'll be here for a day and a half. We absolutely need Chris Kavanaugh here, because once there's one question, we've never done this before. So questions mount. So I'm looking forward to that. Pardon?
We still
have the final state of that. Yeah, you have. You may enact an occupancy tax. That's not saying you should. Now it comes time to research. What does the public think? What do the lodging owners think? What is the scope of the plan for the future? How will this benefit Bertie? Where would the money be going? We have to do all that. And then it is put up to the vote for the commissioners. So if the commissioners are in support of a vacationer's tax, then... that was an act to authorize an occupancy tax. You may. It's just it allows you to. Oh, they've already put, we do not need to go back.
That's one point. That's one thing that we wanted to be positive on, and they did give us the authority, is that we have the authority to amend or specify exactly how that
You do.
So it's not like a plan to give. You know, they make the rules for us. They just give us the authority. But we misset the fine details ourselves.
Right.
And we're only going to do that as court after we have that interface with our citizens and see where.
Right. And Mr. Kavanaugh, he's been doing this for many, many years. So, okay, Business View Magazine, you know, we had that interview. Look forward to receiving that article. I think the one that Business View Magazine did last year on Bertie County was great. I certainly used it a lot on each of the grant applications. And of course, then lastly, David and I attended the World Partners Network in Wilson a few weeks ago, all day long, but that was great. I met a lot of folks that are with organizations, especially infrastructure. So once we get the industry and the housing plans done, we can go to these groups and say, now help us identify some funding channels to get there. So good. Now I'm done.
Yeah, I have a question. Robin talked a lot about changing our program board. And you know, that's our put aims for the RTP. So a lot of us know the people doing pretty well. Did you in phase one, and then the referees and the tap down the beach and the whole works. And we're now looking at phase two funding. So a great article in this week's RTP Ledger about funding for this grant. It's important for citizens to know that. When you hear Robin, our consultant, talking about projects, the funding that we're always first looking for is grant money. And we I think, how many grants have we had now on the top grants board? Three. I mean, the big ones have been.
Five.
Yeah, five total, but the big ones, the popular information. Three.
Big ones.
$3.5 million, $1.5 million, and then other grants. So we're doing this. What we think is a smart way, because we have limited funds, right, in terms of the low-worth county. So we're really focusing on how can we get support to build infrastructure that will improve this county, for our citizens, and tourism, the whole works. We've done a tremendous job, I think,
Oh, thank you, but they're good projects. They're good projects.
We signed in November, I believe, of last year, and almost $1.9 million water grant to redo the clean water system in because we see that as a major economic hub. And this is going to be done. They started doing surveying things of that nature. We got piping sitting out there that, believe it or not, is from the 60s, asbestos piping. It's funny to use it. It's going to take it down, things of that nature. Meter bases, that can be changed up and controlled. So all this can get changed up. And the reason we're speeding up, we see this economic hub, we're going to buy the business.
It doesn't stop there. We just got to put the research of having an energy board, $5 million grant
for communication.
That announcement is coming.
So we're working hard for you folks. We want you to know that. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you very much.
All right. Now, I want to make a change to the agenda, if you would allow me to do that. Commissioner, Sheriff Ruffin wants you to come forth and introduce some new folks to it. They're very proud of, and you're very proud of, and we want you to
Thank you. Good afternoon, Commissioners and County Manager. Thank you for allowing us to come this afternoon. I stress to my staff all the time to know who your commissioners are and stuff. And so since I've came on December the 5th, the first commissioner meeting, I bought some of the new members that I bought then. And since then, we have bought several new employees. So they are here with us today, and I'll introduce them. Starting with Ms. Tranika Smith. She is one of our record specialists in our office, and she's doing some backlogging on some of our records. So she's here. Ms. Kayla, you may be familiar with her. She was a transfer from the Register of Deeds. Mr. KJ Michael McKissick, he is one of our newest deputies that were just sworn in recently. He's with us now. Mr. Jaquan Williams. Mr. Jaquan Williams is one of our new deputies that's with us. And also Mr. Jeremiah Jenkins. Mr. Jeremiah Jenkins is the next one. And he's with us now just recently. Those three, KJ Michael, Williams, and Jenkins were just recently sworn in, maybe in the past 2 weeks. Was it 3 weeks? Somewhere between the past 2 or 3 weeks. And Mr. DeMario Pillman, he has been with us for what, 2 months? It's been about 2 months. DeMario Pillman, he's helping out in our school resource division. And he do have a family ties here in Bertie County. Mr. Braxton Manning, he's a recent graduate of Martin Community College BLET program. He's with us doing a wonderful job, and he have his own designing company. He has been designing everything that you see for us. He has been doing our designing, so I call him my right-hand man and my public relations officer. So a lot of events that I go to, Mr. Braxton Manning will be with me. And also Mr. Ricky Dozier. Mr. Ricky Dozier has been in law enforcement since, I believe it's 2015, Ricky Dozier, and he's with us. He's with us also, formerly of the Scotland Police Department and the Edgecombe County Sheriff's Office, Ricky Dozier. And Mr. Jameel Veal. Mr. Jameel Veal is also helping with us in school resource. And Mr. Veal has some family ties here in the Lewiston Snakebite area. And Jameel is doing a wonderful job for us also. Miss Tamisha Battle, she was not able to make it this afternoon. She, her grandmother is having some medical problems. But Tamisha, she used to work here in 2019, and she was moved on. And so she has now come back to be with us. So, as I explained to them, very important for us to know who our commissioners are, and very important for the commissioners to know who we are. So get used to the faces, Jerry, in case you see them. I'm going to take just another minute just to share with you some of the things that, you know, we've been doing at the Bertie County Sheriff's Office, I'm very satisfied with, you know, the direction that we're headed in with the Sheriff's Office. Through our proactive work, the overall crime has been down in Bertie County, but we are seeing a slight trend in drive-by shootings. And while we may not know the specific suspects, we are getting whiff of the names and the groups of the peoples that may be involved. The biggest thing is just being able to tie them in and to be able to have reasonable doubt or probable cause to know that they are the ones that are committing those crimes. So we are working on that. I did speak with all of our surrounding sheriffs and our chiefs of police. They are dealing with the same issue that we're dealing with here in Bertie County, except for Martin County. They haven't really been dealing with this. The city of Williamston have, but the county of Martin haven't. So it seems that since this new law in 2019 has changed, that took the raised the age from a juvenile being 16 to now 18, it seems that the crimes are now being committed more by our, you know, juveniles. But we are working very hard to solve and, you know, stay on top of those things. And so those, some of the things that we are doing is more visibility and throughout the county of patrol vehicles. More deputies are now patrolling. I do want to say thank you to the commissioners for allowing us to have an overtime budget, because this generation now, you know, an incentive to them is overtime. And so by us being able to have overtime, we're having more deputies that are patrolling. When I first started, we had two deputies that would patrol per day, per night. Now, most of the time, any given night, we may have about four deputies. And sometimes on the weekends, we may have six deputies that are out patrolling. Being involved in the community, our involvement is very, you know, we're very proactive in our community to be involved. And I think that's some of the things that will help us to solve those issues also. Saturday night, our new deputies had an opportunity to see what law enforcement is really like, getting a call late at night and saying, we need you to come to work. And they did a wonderful job getting up and being there as quick as they could be. They are getting firsthand experience very early. And also being proactive, the men and women of the Bertie County Sheriff's Office has really put forth an effort in setting the standards to let the criminal violators know that they will not be able to get away with those things comfortably here in Bertie County. Our staffing is pretty good. We do have some new hires. Most of them pretty much have to go to BLET. With the new guys, they do have to go to BLET. But a very important thing that I've found out is that by them getting firsthand experience, it helps them when they actually go to school. We have two deputies now in Edgecombe. They'll be graduating in October, but they're in Edgecombe Community College. And they are excelling. I don't think they've received no test score less than a 90. And that's because we gave them firsthand experience of actually working and patrol before sending them to the academy. And the last thing is just we have been, thank you all also for allowing us to have a training budget. We have truly been attending trainings. Investigator Brandon Turner, he completed the general instructor training. Brandon is now able to teach anywhere in the state certified classes, not specialized, but just certified classes anywhere in the state now. And he's able to teach us. So Brandon is doing a wonderful job. He also completed the FAA training, which is the federal aviation training to let him to actually fly the drone. Captain Bonnie Brantley has also completed that class. Sergeant Dakota Young, he's not here. He recently completed the radar training. And Deputy Ricky Dozier, he recertified on his radar training. So he's also one of our radar operators. I will be leaving again on this Sunday. I'm going back to Chapel Hill again for the Sheriff's Leadership Institute, where that's a 4-week program. We're on week number 3. And in March of 2024, I'll be completed with that training program. The North Carolina Sheriff's Association is doing a wonderful job with that. And also our Chief Deputy, Timothy Hard, he's attending a 3-week Chief Deputy Leadership Training under the North Carolina Sheriff's Association. And so I believe maybe like February or sometime next year, he'll be completed that training. I do want to say thank you all so much for what you do and supporting the Bertie County Sheriff's Office. Thank you. Thank you. And I do have to be at another meeting, so I'll slip out of here in just a minute. But thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much. Jody's going to kind of talk to us about some of the settlements and tax charges for 2023, and also
Good evening. I'll get one thing out of the way since I'm the only one in here with a mask. I'm not sick. I've been exposed to someone who is, so I'm taking precautions, but I feel fine. All right. First thing we have is the 2022-2023 settlement reports. I don't know what page that is. Y'all got of yours. Toward the bottom of the page, the financial impact, unpaid real property at $235,000, unpaid personal property almost $54,000. That's pretty much in line with previous years. So there's really no change in that. With this, I would need a motion to accept these preliminary reports and to enter the insolvents list into official minutes to accept the settlement report of current delinquent real personal property taxes for 2022-2023, and by resolution, recharge the tax administrator with the collections of the delinquent real and personal property taxes.
Before I support the motion, are there any questions? Before that report is charged, they go in the heading line, the real property. So, no questions, you'll help on the motion to accept.
And next is the charge for the 2023-2024 tax levy. I just need a motion charging the tax administrator with collections of all real personal public service, public utilities, and motor vehicle taxes for the upcoming year.
We've done a really good job, especially over the last 3 or 4 years, kind of raising that collection rate to a really, really high force too. So do we, and I know we just had another collection, maybe not collection is the right word, but in connection with the utility, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about that.
The public utility, public service companies, gas lines, telephone lines, solar, anything like that is appraised by the Department of Revenue. They do the appraisal work. They send us the values. We build it. In doing our budget, I have to, since I don't appraise it, I don't know what it's going to be. I have to base my budget off of the previous year's valuation. I did that in this budget. A couple of weeks ago, I received the appraisal from Department of Revenue, and it was an increase of $10.7 million. So that's an additional, using our current rate, it's going to be a roughly additional $93,000 in levy. And that is 100% collection rate on the public utilities.
This is an area that will be continue to grow.
Yes, the majority of that came from Brightspeed and... It was Dominion Power or Duke Power, one of the two. We're biggest. Yeah.
So we can expect to see that continue growth with all of the broadband companies in force, broadband grants and everything.
Yes.
So
the new gas lines are going to, natural gas lines are going to 308 towards Purdue in that area, and would that be included?
I believe the majority of that's going to be exempt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's exempt at state level. Yeah. So.
All right.
Okay.
Right, but don't.
Yeah, I got next.
Hey, how you doing? I'm going to give him the oath of office for tax administrator for Bertie County this day, September 11th, 2023. Jody, I would like for you to repeat after me. After the letters I, state your name. Are you ready?
Yes.
I.
Jody Ray.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support and maintain the Constitution.
That I will support and maintain the Constitution.
And laws of the United States.
And laws of the United States.
And the Constitution and laws of North Carolina.
And the Constitution and laws of North Carolina.
Not inconsistent therewith.
Not inconsistent therewith.
That I will not allow my actions.
That I will not allow my actions.
As tax administrator.
As tax administrator.
To be influenced by.
To be influenced by.
Personal or political friendships.
Personal or political friendships.
Or obligations.
Or obligations.
And that I will faithfully.
And that I will faithfully.
Discharge the duties of my office.
Discharge the duties of my office.
As tax administrator.
As tax administrator.
So help me God.
So help me God. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, next up is our interim finance officer, David Scarborough,
City County Manager. Half this way, half that way, but we're okay. So you've got the report in front of you. Not a very active month, and everything is in line with previous months, so we're doing as well as can be expected for that. The bank statements and stuff at the bottom, you'll see where we are as well. Main thing to look at again is, I think Robin talked to you, we're closing out all these projects. We're doing a lot of reimbursements. One of them is still that $86,000 that we're waiting on from the Tarbosa order, but everything else we received that we were waiting on. Until we close out the books, it should be for this year. It should go back into last year's totals and impact our fund balance from that. The main thing that I wanted to provide to you is the letter that's in there that I wrote after our board meeting on August the 7th. You asked about why to explain the increase in funds in the Southern in the capital management trust funds in prior years. I can read all of this if you'd like, or it's available to you.
Give us
basically, what it boils down to is that that's the money that comes in that goes to DSS, and sales tax revenue and all the monies flow into that account. And as we need it, we take it out and put it into the Southern Bank. In fiscal year, of the $7.8 million that you see, over $4.5 million was transferred to DSS. Interest was also more accumulated that year because of the amount of money that was in there. You'll see the amounts of transactions, the different types of transactions that were deposited into it and transferred out. That's where all the money has come from when it transfers out. If you'll notice this year, even this month, it's dropped down a little bit because we've had payroll and some of the other things that we've had to take out of there to move into our Southern Bank, because if you'll notice, we didn't get much revenue in the past month or so because of this is not the time of year where the funds come in for tax collection and things like that. So that money is in that trust until we need it, and we transfer it into Southern Bank to pay our bills, pay payroll and things like that. So, yes. So that explains that. And like I said, we're in line with where we have been last year. So
I got a question. When you said that, what do you mean?
Pardon me.
We're in line with where we were last year. The number that we
had in, if you look at the
prior year, it says August 31, 2022.
Well, I was talking about the percentage of spend, because if you look at the expenditures, you're double where you were last year.
Well, in terms of revenues, we've collected more so far in revenues. Well, I mean, so we're in line. What I'm basically saying, we're doing okay. We're not hurting. We're meeting the goals. You'll see that we've expended more, but some of the expenditures can be explained based off of the annual items that we've had to pay up front, the contracts and stuff that are year-long contracts. And but what I'm basically saying is that the spending that we've had and the revenues, we're doing okay. I'm not concerned about anything that I've seen on here.
And that's what I want to get to here. The development phase on page 218, that's the prior year, my brother. That's at the August 31, 2022.
Yes, I'm sorry, you're correct.
So we're about $800,000 in those accounts.
Bishop, I understand what you're talking about, and 17% that we should be, we are, my concern, my comfort zone is that we should have spent by the end of August, we should have spent about 17% of our budget, and we've only spent about 11% of our budget. And so in that response is why I'm saying that I'm comfortable where we are, because we haven't spent to the extent that we have in that we should have spent.
Yeah, I think it's kind of typical, Mike. That when we started trying to do what we get, we know it's going to be lots of people. Typically, we catch up. If we have a group, we get closer to it. I'm just comparing. Last year, maybe 5%, and this year, 11%. That's what I'll do. All right, you see that plan when they come in to change up. Any other questions?
Hi, sir.
Come on, I'm ready. Okay. I'm sorry. We'll be doing that in a few minutes.
Mm-hmm. You're waiting.
All right. Next, we have an introduction that County Manager is going to give us for our new Human Resources and Risk Management Director. It's the highlight of our.
Yes, very glad to have this young lady with us tonight. But just to bring everybody up to speed, on August 11th, our former HR director, that was her last day. And so for two weeks, I wore the hat of interim HR director. So needless to say, I'm very happy. Ms. Latoria Harrell as the new Human Resources and Risk Management Director. Latoria has completed her undergraduate studies at East Carolina. She's gone on to get a master's in business administration with concentration in human resources management. She has over 4 years in human resources experience, and her last stint of experience was with the city of Elizabeth City. Yeah. So glad to have her on our team. Yes.
I look forward to serving in Brenton County government. Like I said, I do have experience in HR. It's my passion. So I do look forward to implementing some different things, change some different practices that's going on now currently to make things more modern versus more antiquated. So I'm learning and doing a lot so far.
We're glad to have you. Thank you.
All right. Yes. Y'all have a good one.
Okay, that concludes our appointments and reports. So we're going in now to our board appointments. And even though it says none in the agenda, we do have one that we would like to put before you right now because there's some urgency around this matter. Could you explain, County Manager?
Yes, sir. So I was informed today through our clerk to the board of Jenny Bowen reached out to her, and as you all are aware, we appointed Chief Randy Chair to the Workforce Development Board Riverseas part of committees before, and there was another appointment along with that one, but we held off on that because there were some concerns about the attendance. However, the board did decide that they would defer someone from Purdue, since it is a Workforce Development Board, Purdue, one of our largest employers. So there's someone by the name of Phyllis Bogan, who is in HR at Purdue, and Lashonda has sent her some information on that board so that she can become familiar, and she says she will confirm whether or not she's willing to serve within 24 hours, and so that contact, we're expecting to hear from her tomorrow. So Jenny also shared that it was urgent to have someone appointed today, but she has to have someone appointed by September 30th, immediately prior to September 30th. And she mentioned not doing so could possibly, risk some funding. We absolutely don't want to do that. So with that being said, I would like to recommend Ms. Phyllis Bogan, granted, if she is willing to serve, she could be appointed upon your approval.
We'd like to make that motion of approval. Hold on, sir. right. To her protocol itself. Is there a second?
Sorry.
Good, moved and properly second. That would be important. It's Phyllis Bogan, so much for her acceptance to sit on the board, right? All those in favor, please say aye. All those opposed, nay. Ayes have it.
Thank you.
When you let us know and let Jenny know. We've done so many months.
Absolutely.
Right? Okay, great. We have several items on our consent agenda, and I'm going to try to handle these very quickly. First is approval of our tax release journal, July
2023.
David.
Okay. I broke your book. I'm sorry. Okay, so I really don't have anything to tell you about this, except that I spoke with Jody last week about this. And I question why we did this every month. And in case you don't know, because you do it every month, back in 1985, you as a commissioner board in there agreed via the state statute that the state statute says you have to do this. The county commissioners give the finance officer the authority to present this to you, but you have to accept it. It has to go in the minutes each month. Those of you who are new, and probably all of you, or very most of you, probably didn't know that. I did not know that. So that being said, the reason you vote on this every month is because state statute says you have to be aware of it, and you have to accept this into the minutes. And so what you will see are the those items that need to be accepted and submitted. So I ask that you accept them.
And most of these are passwords. But any kind of really large ones, you got to get a chance to review them by the meetings, and you can always bring it to the department. So, we're hoping for a motion to approve the tax release journal for the office of all those in favor, approval of the tax release journal for July 23, please say aye. All those opposed, nay. Right.
Yes, I'm here for the next couple. All right, so this day, first budget amendment is basically from DSS. They're going to be receiving funds in October for energy assistance for those people who don't have direct deposit. The money is coming in October 15th, and then once the money comes in, they'll be able to use it. But we needed to go ahead and establish the budget, and that's what the $139,650 is to establish the budget so that when they get the funds, they can pay out to energy. That's correct.
No.
Okay. I can do all everything if you want. It doesn't matter to me. However you want to do it. The next one is both a project ordinance and a project amendment. This is for the Affordable Teacher Housing Project. As you know, the Affordable Teachers Housing Project got a grant from Golden Leaf, and it's a pass-through, but the Bertie County has to accept it and say that they'll be responsible for being the congruent to it. And so I've gotten two invoices now, and I've got someone who wants me to pay them tomorrow. So but I couldn't pay them until I get your approval of the project. I need you to accept the grant by approving the project ordinance. And Chairman Weston, you'll need to sign it when we're done. And then once you're done with that, the project amendment basically puts the $527,000 into place so that when we get the invoices, we can pay them out. And then it's a reimbursable project to Golden Leaf. Sir, what was that? I'd like for you to say that you it's right there. You just read it. You didn't say it. I need you to accept the Golden Leaf grant pass through to the Affordable Teachers Housing Project.
I make a motion that we approve the budget
that I just said.
Anything
we want to
do, also the one for.
But you need to do the ordinance first. You fit the ordinance, and then we'll do the
Motion's been made. Commissioner Trent, is there a second?
Second.
Commissioner Bounce, a second. All those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, nay.
And then you need a certain project amendment for the $527,000.
Okay. Again, is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Robinson, all those in favor, for the $527,000 amendment, please say aye. All those opposed, nay. Pass county. Thank you, folks. And if anybody's seen, they probably have to go on that. Moving along and putting up second food storage, framing, lighting up. Your head schedule looks great.
So the next project amendment is for the DEQ Tall Grass of Border Phase 1 Shoreline Stabilization Project. It was awarded in October of 21. You approved a contract on March of 22, but there was never a budget put into the system so that we can pay invoices. And we received an invoice last month, and I can't pay it until you approve the project ordinance or the project amendment. So I need you to approve the Tall Grass of Border Shoreline Stabilization Project grant amendment so that I can pay the bills for $113,000 a year.
I made a motion. Shoreline $139,113,198.
This is also a pass through.
Which is correct. There's a motion. There's a second. Commissioner Robinson, all those in favor of approving the shoreline stabilization amendment, please say aye. Opposed, nay.
I'll be back.
All of these things are that we've gotten from various departments and throughout budget, not taxpayers' money, and we're able to build things, improve the future housing, other than the project. I've been taught going after and requesting the funds that we need that are out there available to, right? We're going to do more of that, not less, more of that. All right, thank you. Yeah. So you've all seen the register of deeds report for July and August. What is your pleasure? Mr. Robinson, is there a second?
Second.
Mr. White, all those in favor of approving the register of deeds report for July and August, please say aye. Any nays? None? Approved. None of the amendments. We also next have an approval of agreement for transportation services between Northeastern North Carolina Transportation Services and Bertie County. This is on the Council of Aging Transportation for them. This is simply an agreement that comes annually. Any other things to say about that?
Yes, it was actually just approved at the beginning of the fiscal year, but the only change is here. The original contract was given to New Directions, and New Directions is now under new ownership, and it goes by the name Northeastern North Carolina Transportation Services. So the contract has been updated to reflect that.
Same people or just same change?
I believe it's different. I'm not 100%
sure. Right. So, again, that funding comes
It's seen the Miss Floretta Holly. Previously, it's seen the best. Floretta Holly's the owner of this one.
Yeah, correct. All those in favor? Or a motion first? So moved. To approve the agreement for transportation services between Northeast and North Carolina Transportation Services with the counties, Council of Agents. Your second?
Second.
Mr. White. All those in favor, please say aye. All those opposed, nay? Ayes have it.
Thank you.
We're done. Wow. That's all good things. So the next is item D, a discussion agenda update on the county auction. Ray, tax administrator. Give us an update, please.
Let Mr. Huddleston here go ahead and find.
Yeah, that's fine. I can go ahead and do that.
You do that, yeah.
Yes, sir. When, as you may know from prior experience back in 2020, when you're going to have an auction sale of real property, you need to have a resolution. When you're going to have an auction sale of personal property, you need to have a resolution for that. So In your agenda packet, there were a couple of resolutions, one for real property, one for personal, and they had some highlighted blanks in them. I've got updated, finalized resolutions for you. So when I'm handing out two of the three documents here are some you've seen in your agenda packet, they're just finalized. I had a long phone conversation today with Richard Vaughn of Rich and Rich and Shannon Jones, who also is with them, and we hammered out date of sale. Like, date of sale was one of the most important things to figure out. They proposed November 16th. Let's see. Yep. November 16th, completely online auction for both real property and personal property. So that's a Thursday, 7 p.m. And just briefly, the way they work that is that's the date of the sale, date and time. That's what we'll advertise. In advance of that, they'll open up the site and they have information about the land and the personal property on their website. And then people can begin bidding, and then the bidding closes out gradually, piece by piece, once the auction sale starts. So they'll have all the explanation for that on the website. They'll announce this piece will be closing out in 2 minutes. Do we have any other bids? And so people can electronically click and upset that bid, and then they'll just keep rolling it until they have no further bids during the allotted time frame. No, they'll handle each piece like that.
And even after that final bid during this portion was still upset, status is still there. Is that final?
No, that's final.
That is final.
Yeah. Because like when I do an auction sale, like for tax foreclosure, that's where the 10-day upset bid period comes. When a bank does an auction sale, that's usually a 10-day. But when we get to the point where the county has bought these properties over time and is ready to do the auction sale, the auction is the auction. That's it. Now, it is subject to coming back before this board for the board to review those bids and decide, is this truly a fair price? And it's up to the board to accept each and every one of those or kick one out if you choose to do so.
There are a couple of big properties that we have with a minimum bid. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes.
So that's still subject to that minimum.
It is, yes. And those minimum bids are listed on the list of properties that we have.
Yeah.
So we have two resolutions, and then sort of without jumping the gun, you still need to approve the two contracts with Rich and Rich Auctioneers that says what their terms of doing the auctions are. So they have their commissions and the way they work things. That contract is also the contract for the real property is in your agenda packet. And now the contract for the personal property was one that I sent you last Wednesday at 5 p.m. And I was expecting Rich and Rich still to give me sort of an updated version. Well, I essentially have an updated version here. So in addition to the two resolutions, what I'm about to hand to you is that personal property auction contract between the county and Rich and Rich that looks basically identical to the one that I sent you last Wednesday. It's just got an extra vehicle added.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just basically got a nice clean copy of a list of personal property attached. That's basically the only difference. So in order to go forward, you'd need to approve that contract, the real property auction contract that you would have with Rich and Rich, which that's not in here because that hasn't changed a word. That's in your agenda packet. So those two contracts are Rich and Rich, real, personal, and then the two resolutions, real, personal. So if you don't mind, I'll go ahead and hand these in, I guess. And as I hand them out, I can.
So as I understand, once we review those, there are three actions, approval of the contract, and also approval of the personal, and also the real property.
Yes. So it's four documents total that we would, if you want to take action, you would approve.
Close at 7 p.m. Close at 7 p.m. Okay. And then the closing late on Thursday.
What would the start at 7 p.m.?
That's what Richard Ball told me today on the phone. Well, he told me a few weeks ago when we initially started talking, he told me that the idea is to start at 7 p.m. once people get off work, get home, take a shower, get done with their day's work. They get online at 7 and they have roughly a couple of hours for this closeout to occur for all these different pieces of property. And they said they found that it's an excellent result when they start these in the evenings. I know it may have been done differently in the past, but he's convinced that doing these in the evening on a business
day. Yeah, the last one he did for us was not, it was online, but it was not at night.
Okay.
He started that during the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
there's no, if we need to go back and check with him on that or make, I'm positive he told me 7 p.m., but now if the board doesn't like that or wants to do it different or has some follow-up questions, I'd be glad to go to him.
If they're the ones doing the auctions, if they've gotten good results by going to that, that's, yeah.
We had experience before
doing it, right? Not at that time, but online, yes. Yes, and got better results than what we had expected.
A lot easier to be able to build a product. At home, shower, to eat, and let's get this on.
It's also important to note here, as on the first page, number 2, it said that the properties will be listed at least no later than 30 days before. And so as soon as the information is loaded, people can start bidding.
Yeah, but that, right. It doesn't culminate, though, until date of sale and closeout. So, but you're right. Yeah, it gives them a lot of evenings to sit. And so the real
best way to sit.
What's confusing is at the time of sale, a countdown will start that closes out the bidding on each property in succession. That means at 7 o'clock? Is that when the countdown is starting?
Yeah. Yeah, no, like at 7:02, soon after the 7 o'clock time hits, they'll say, okay, we've been getting bids for the last several weeks. Here's the high bids listed for all the pieces, starting with track number 1. Does anybody have, you've got until X minute to do any final upset bids. And then if X minute hits, and basically when X minute hits, that's when they take the highest.
I got it. I'm out of here.
Now I haven't sat and watched them do this before, but that's how he explained it to me today on the phone.
Yeah, that was done with that was done a few years ago with Scotch Hall when that went up for auction. That was done the same way. Yeah.
Will you be online
so you can hear that? I can just sit there and watch it. Yeah. I got to check that date. I may be at my conference, but I can still be online watching that.
What's really interesting is like the night before, any one of you or any one of us could get online and look and see, and just see what the initial, what the initial bids are and see how well it's doing. But like Commissioner Trent said, or maybe Commissioner Robertson, probably most people, when the really serious bidders are going to get right on there and try to leave too much money on the table.
Yes, we had one, we didn't. There was another auction company that did one last week right here on King Street, exact same way. Derelict property built in the 1900s has not been kept up. It was 27,000. It ended at 7 o'clock. It was 27,000 up until a little after 6. And right at the last minute, somebody bumped it up to 65,000. So you'll probably see that in this. So,
well, it'll be interesting to see, especially those that we have minimums on, see how they are moving. Even if people
come at the last
minute, see if they're
yeah.
I mean,
then what's
one you prefer first?
Oh,
action on the contract first.
Well, let me see. I wrote down just a couple other comments. Well, first of all, let me point out. I'll do notices of sale. I wanted to mention that too. So it's like a 3-step process. You do contract with Rich and Rich. You do the resolutions, and then I'll do notices of sale. To satisfy the statute, because the statute says that the notice for these needs to have certain things in it. Personal property notice has to be published in the local newspaper at least 10 days in advance of the sale, and the real property has to be published in the local newspaper at least 30 days in advance of the sale. So Juan and I will take care of making sure that's done. And then Rich and Rich will actually post it on Instagram and Facebook or Meta and their site. So they'll be advertising electronically as well. So that'll be the last stage of it. There's a tract on there for the Department of Social Services where that split occurs. We've been kind of tracking that, how that's gone through the town. The town has, Jody's told me, and Juan's told me, they have accepted, they've approved the survey split. Now, the list of properties still shows just DSS to be split. So I wonder if we should, since that the only last, the last change to that survey, according to Alan Castillo, is that the words preliminary have to be removed. So that survey has not technically been finalized, but Roanoke Land Survey any day now, according to Jody, is going to finalize that, take that off. But I'd like to be specific on that line about, like, okay, is it 5.6 acres? Is it 2?
Well, once I get that, I can have land records go in and map it.
Okay. And so maybe what I'm asking for is that if the board wants to move forward tonight with a November sale, then maybe the best way to do it is approve these, the contracts and the resolutions, conditioned on us being specifying the split for that DSS property. I'm going to throw that out there. And before you decide that, there is a piece that we're going to discuss potentially later today in closed session you may or may not include. So it's contingent on that. And then lastly, there's a piece that was surveyed on County Farm Road that's not included in this auction. I think that was brought up at the last meeting, and I just felt like I needed to say that, as far as I know, that's not included in this sale. It may be just the piece on County Farm Road may be surveyed and split and sold in a different manner at a different time. I'm not sure. But if this board needs to discuss that, then now would be the time to do that.
Yeah, I thought you could worry about it. Yeah, we don't have time to do that.
We wait on survey for one. Yeah.
We may then decide this later. So at this point, we'd probably just agree to have.
Right.
We want to shut in. We'd probably agree. We want to go forward.
Yeah. Okay. So the only conditional approval here is DSS property getting straight on, just amending that identification to that property so that it actually refers to a survey and an acreage. And then the other piece is to whether we're going to add that or not.
Right, break it out.
Okay, break it out. Okay, gotcha.
All right, so let's go with this order. If it's okay, first, the contract between Rich and Rich and
two contracts, personal and real.
Personal and real with Rich and Rich. Well, open for motion.
I made a motion to move forward with the contract and real. I like the property
value. Motion is there a second? So, I heard it first. Although in favor of approving the contract between the Burton County and Rich and Rich, or real and personal property, please say aye. Although opposed, nay. That's happened. Great. Did you want to also do the notice of sale?
Well, no, the resolutions. Two resolutions. Yes, sir.
Two resolutions on the same matter.
First one, real.
Any motion of resolution?
Yes.
Make a motion to do it to another word.
Yeah. Well, open for a second. All those in favor of the resolution, we're going to trust the property with Rich and Rich and Rich County. Please say aye. All those opposed today, as heaven. Thank you. It's two. Anyone still do the notice? What's that?
No, the notice, the resolution basically just instructs Juan and I and Jody to put the notice in the newspaper.
Okay.
So you don't actually have to approve the notice.
Right. But you did. But you did need something about specification of the split of that property. Is that right?
Yes. Sir.
Or to put that in, giving you and Jody the authority to enter that matter.
Basically, yes. Sir. I mean, yes. Yeah. That whatever that approved survey says that the acreage is that the identification of that property be more specified to show that acreage.
Okay. So I'll make that motion. I'll settle the floor. That the question is that we allow our tax administrator and our county attorney upon approval of that survey to add that specific language as to the description of that property, the site description of that property, the DSS, to put that into.
It would go into both the contract with Rich and also the resolution.
Contract and the resolution.
Yeah.
All right. So in a second, all those in favor, please say aye. Any opposed, nay? As have it. Thank you.
Okay.
Good.
Set. We're good. Is that what you mean? Is that what you know?
Yeah.
At our next meeting, we might want to take a look at that. If there's a problem, we don't see the details on that.
I should have a survey hopefully this week.
Good. Mr. Chairman, I've recommended that we could meet a meeting close to this one. Great.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Jim.
Mr. Chairman. Yeah, next is our update on the county animal show.
Hi, this is it, I think, for me tonight. So in our last meeting, I told you about the conversation I had with all the different counties around. And one of my tasks was to follow up with Washington County because they were in the same situation we're in. I spoke to the sheriff's office. He was like, man, you know, that would be really something we'd like to do. But I don't think the county commissioners are going to approve yet because of some things that are going on. So then I went back and called the county manager again and spoke with him. And he also agreed it would be something nice to do some type of collaboration. However, they are in the process of doing a school bond.
Yes.
And he said if they don't get the money from the state that they're looking for, then they're looking at roughly a 5-cent tax increase in the next money, and they'd have no other funds available to do anything with at this point in time. So while it might be an option they would have liked to do, they don't think they're going to be. The answer basically was no. The other task was to talk to Hertford County, and I know Juan spoke to the sheriff, and I'll let you repeat what they told them.
So I spoke with Sheriff Dexter Hayes and told him pretty much where we were, and we just asked if he would be interested since he oversees the animal control in Hertford County. And he said that he was in a similar situation as we are in terms of needing a better facility. However, he could not give me a definite answer, of course. And it would also have to go before the Board of Commissioners. So it's really a question mark. It's open. There seems like there could be some potential there, but no commitment, of course, whatsoever at this point.
And so what I'd like to do is just give you a quick summary of where we are with the project right now. In terms of expenditures, in terms of what we've gotten for this, we got $300,000 when we first started this through ARPA. We also got another $208,000 from the Office of State Budget Management last year in that $900,000 that we'd requested and we received. That's a total of $508,387. So far, of that $300,000, we've spent about $64,000 to do the architectural work and the engineering work that's done there. So that leaves us about $235,000 in that pot. We also, of the $208,000, we've used about $2,000. And what we did. Sir?
What the price of the dog shelter?
The estimate to build the shelter that they're planning right now with the possibility for expansion is between $600,000 and $750,000.
And that came up a bunch of square foot, about $500 square foot.
I'd have to go back and measure that. I'm sure you're probably close to that, but I'm not sure exactly. So
smaller.
The initial version was like $1.2 million to build what we need. But what we've done is brought it back down to roughly what we've got now, but a nicer and newer facility, obviously. And so we've got roughly $441,000 sitting there to do that. In terms of what the architect, Bill Daggett, has done, they are actually... they're anticipating to have their project ready to bid by the end of September. There are a few things that we as a county have to do that I have not done yet because of kind of waiting to spend any more money until I got a better feel for this. We've got to do some soil boring work and some inspections of the property prior to that he can use for the put into the bid construction. So when I talked to him last week, he said, you know, we'll be ready to have the bid out by the end of September. I said, well, maybe middle of October. Let's wait and see what we have with this meeting and such. So I guess I kind of need a little bit of direction in terms of, do I go ahead and get the boring done and let him put the bid contract out to find out what it's going to end up costing us? Or do we stop doing anything else because and not have them do anything else until we know if we're going to do something different.
The last conversation we had at this meeting, please, somebody remember here that say it, whether or not we have instructed to go ahead and get the architectural thumb, right? Okay. Yeah. And why should we do the board when we get the architect and build on it? Get prices over the building when you sell, and then we'll figure out how to work.
What's the time limit on building the board? That's not a time.
It didn't sound like it was a major cost or time. It just has to go out there and test the soil and test it so they can add that to the construction bid documents to put out for bid.
The commission has a point is that we really need to get a fix on the cost of building this, right? That's mm-hmm. what we are, right? I know what the architect has estimated, right? But that's just his estimation.
That's correct.
Put it out there and see what we can get. And that's going to determine, really. That's the
question. Where we go next?
I think that's where we need to go.
Okay.
We need to go ahead and get it out there. All right.
Scott, question. We should try to end the discussion. Same as this facility of this thought, the facility of all I have election. With the funds that we have in place, be able to remodel. That facility such as that.
There's always possibilities to convert these areas. I mean, there's room to be made. I mean we've got a building right down here on 308. It can possibly be converted if it's over there on the backside. It could be possibly one of these schools could be converted into this for probably a third or half of the price that would be quoted by the architect, if we go in that direction. And yes, it can be done. I mean, you can convert almost anything to anything you want, as long as it's structurally sound. It's not, I guarantee you, one thing, I can structurally sound.
We just passed on the building to ask if they were preschool that we could have accepted. Relatively good shaped building, if we could have said yes, but they didn't look at it as a possibility. Well, either way, getting them asking for a bid does not lock us in.
No, it's not
anything. So until we get it, we can always look then at other options, right? So
going back to Mr. Ballas, yeah, legitimate question. I gave him a good answer, and that's correct.
So that's always not right, and nothing precludes us from doing that and looking at that, right?
So what we call hurdle, diversify, adapt, overcome,
overcome.
Then I'll meet with him next week to get those. Okay, well, I'll keep you.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right, I will keep you updated on the progress of getting the bids done.
Thanks, sir.
All right, thank you.
Alexander Builders is very interested.
Oh, okay. So when it comes up, we'll make sure they know that this bid's out.
That'd be great.
Next, Ken, I know you're going to lead us in this with the discussion of 2024 meeting schedules. We want to mention the
Yes, sir. This has been our proposed schedule. As you are seeing, the board changes have been made to it. I'm just awaiting your feedback. When if some days, don't work, we can change them. Or if you all are ready to move forward, it's ready for approval.
So, anyone
have
any
I'll make a motion.
Yes,
could you give us
I did not. Second. Right. Thank you. So all those in favor of approving the meeting schedule for 2024 and 2024 state holiday schedule, please say aye. Any opposed? Ayes have it. Thank you. Great. All right. Let's see. Next, we have commissioner reports, right? I'll start print out. No. Okay. Mr. White.
I just wanted to give a shout out to Patricia first for the first annual Econ Picketing Film Festival. There you go. I'll get it out. She had an amazing crowd. I wasn't able to make it Friday night, but Saturday and Sunday I was there all day, and it was very nice. You did a great job.
Absolutely.
Where's
your track?
I'd like to give a shout out to Powell's and Stokes for being nationally recognized for peanuts and the service that they brought. They put Burton County on the map, a lot of different places. You know, I'm in Raleigh. And I see Burton County peanuts on the show. You know what I mean? So most of all, has been in business over some years. They've done an amazing job. So be very mindful to stop by and support their business and tell them that, hey, we thank them for all they did.
Thank you. And I'm not sure this is like, I think, Commissioner White stole my thunder on the detailed picketing person, but I did go to Friday night to the red carpet, and it was a packed house. We had people from six or seven different states with short films, comedies, all kinds of things, and the reception was absolutely beautiful. They turned Chief's place, and so all you know where that is, into an absolutely beautiful. County manager was there, was recognized for his work with her and the board. She gave all of us recognition for our support of this. I did not attend all day on Saturday. I was there for part of it, but it was still awesome, great. And so this is what we need more of this, right? The only thing I had to say, we desperately, for this kind of, my favorite, this is a personal statement, we need to find better ways of making sure that the public really is aware of things like this, right? There are many examples, but when things went out on Facebook about it, right? And you know, Paper did five things on it, we put things out of it. But as soon as it came out, a civilian people said, yeah, I didn't know what was happening. I would have been there. You know, I don't know how to solve that, but you know, it was a grand fair. And it was a nice turnout, but the lady on the Saturday and even Sunday on the boards. You know, we had a huge facility and we could have packed the house with. So anyway, that's something you're struggling with.
It's always next year.
Always next year. That's right. Thanks. So that's all I have.
Yes, I do have one item. And it is about something that you all alluded to or mentioned earlier. My communication department, as you all know, we took that, the county's always been responsible. Prior to last year this time, the former sheriff no longer wanted to manage or oversee that operation. And so now that is something under my purview as manager to manage the 911 communications. And so, of course, we have our department again, Ms. J.W. Stalls, and upon becoming, reporting to me, our first discussions were finding some funding so that we could build a 911 emergency facility. And so I will turn it over to Ms. Stalls to let her know what she and her staff, along with Assistant County Manager, were able to achieve.
Yes. Well, it's hotter now. I just got married in March. I've been here, so I'm making sure it's hotter now. So, yeah, we started this process working with the North Carolina 911 Board to apply for a grant for a new facility funding project. We worked with Mission Critical Partners. They helped us with our grant writing and things like that. Assistant County Manager, County Manager, all of us. We had several meetings and we got everything submitted. And I was in Greensboro a few weeks ago for our 911 board meeting. During that meeting, we were able to find out that Burton County was awarded a grant. So just quick estimate on the numbers. We requested a little under $6.5 million from the state in order to build a state-of-the-art secure facility for our 911 communications department. We were awarded $5.145 million, which was huge for Berkshire County, in my opinion. There was a little bit, $48,000 was taken out of it just because a new portable radio grant was just introduced by the state, and I've already applied for that. We did qualify for that. So that money will be taken out, just that little portion. So with that being said, there is a county contribution that will be needed for this grant. It was not a fully funded grant. We got 80%. So just a little under $1.3 million will be needed for the county to supply in order for us to go forward with the grant. So the award letter was given to us on this past Friday, September 8th. We have until this Friday to respond with, it's called an intent to accept. So we'll just respond to that by Friday. Once we do that, then by Friday, November 3rd, we will get the actual grant acceptance packet. It'll, you know, go in and it'll outweigh everything that the county will be responsible for, the timeline and things like that. Then we have another month for everyone to review that, and that will be submitted December 1st. And then on January 5th, we'll have to have everything signed and turned in. For instance, if we have, it's an all or none type situation. We can't change it and just say, oh, well, we'll just build for $5 million now. You have to build what you were granted. And with that being said, the county would be responsible for the $1.3 million in order for us to proceed.
That market date, our acceptance voting, commitment to the match is...
That's going to be December 1st. Because this right here, this due on Friday, is basically just saying... We want to know more. We want to get the acceptance information. And so we'll get the acceptance information the first part of November. We'll have a month to look over all of that. And then that will be due December 1st.
Commitment around those dollars not going forward, actually, till the some portion of the bill, right? There's a date for a final whatever.
Yes, what is it? And I'm sure we'll find out more about that.
Yes, and that's when we get the November 3rd letter, all of that will be lined out for us, and then we'll be able to know how to proceed. I did speak with our representative from Mission Critical Partners, and he said that the first initial cost, like architectural bids and things like that, were included in the grant. So he felt pretty sure and safe in saying that we won't have a initial cost like the beginning of the year or anything like that, because some of the first costs were included in the grant, so those monies can just come out of the grant.
You know, if there's an administrative piece added to the grant, a lot of times it's administrative piece added to the process for the administering of the grant. Is that included in the student?
I'm not aware of that.
We need to look for. If it is, there's several ways that we can do it, right?
Correct.
So that's one thing you should always check for, right? Mm-hmm. Is there an administrative piece assigned as part of it? We have funding for the administration.
Right. Right.
Yep. So it's not, it's we have to incur that ourselves, right?
Yep.
So this is great news.
Yeah, I'm excited.
And we just got to figure out how we're
going
to do it. Right. We're going to figure that out.
And what we know is from my experience, we can get grants to do match. Grants, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're going to turn, look at every rock, turn everything upside down. We need this.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. So I like to commend GW and your staff as well as the
thank
you. For your assistance with that.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You've always been a hard worker.
Thank you. Well, I've been with the county for like 20 years now. It's my home. I love it. I want to do everything I can to move forward. And I mean, I thank Sheriff Holly for giving us up, because I think it was one of the best things for us as a department as a whole, for us to be able to move forward and be eligible for things like this without having to break out pieces for stuff that's not eligible through the 911 board. Yep. It's exciting. Yep. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Can we get a motion for an intent of acceptance of this grant so that we can respond by Friday, September 15th?
Sure, that we set the motion. That was an intent.
Second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Yes.
Thank you all so much. Also, I also want to say thank you. We've never had a training and travel budget for communications, and I've had people going to school every month so far, so we're really excited to get our people better trained, and I do appreciate you allowing us to have that. Thank you. I can't talk my husband into it, so I didn't think I could probably talk y'all into it either.
There are a lot of great things happening in Virginia Town.
Yes.
Yeah. So, a lot of great things happening. All right.
What's your question? Nothing to think
about, sir. Now, next thing is public comments. Any for now working for public comments? Yeah. Come forward. Give your name, address, and let us know what you can say.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Kendrick C. Williams, Jr. I live at 3118 U.S. 13 North, close to Powell in Berkeley County. I'm a sixth-generation farmer and landowner in this county. I've got three things I'd like to address tonight. I'm going to be as brief as I can. Number one, I would like some information before I leave tonight. I get something sent to me about the new fire tax I've heard that's been proposed on the citizens of this county, if I could get some of that sent mail to me or whatever. Number two, last Saturday, we had a major fire in the town of Powellsville. Our town has neglected to keep the stuff up. We did the fire, and I'm a 33-year retired volunteer fireman with the town of Powellsville. I got a phone call that my best friend's house was on fire. We got up there, and there's no water in the 100,000-gallon upright tank, the town of Powellsville. I wasn't even supposed to be fighting fire. They had no help. I fought fire right along with the rest of them anyway. We had no water. 150 acres of fire trucks ain't worth a damn without some water. We are supposed to be hooked to the county as a backup because both wells are out. And I find out, citizen, these wells have been out for 6 months. This is unacceptable. I did a little investigating today trying to find out why the county water system that we are supposed to be hooked to is not putting water in our tank. I contacted the water department last Friday. I have had no response. If there's any way possible, we would like to get water in this tank for our fire rating. And the town of Powell's has a fire rating. That's hard to get in rural America. And we've worked very hard for 30 years to get where we are today, and the town dropped the ball, and as far as I'm concerned, the Powers of Fire Chief dropped the ball. This should have been caught before six months ago. There should have been a solution for this. They're trying to get some new wells in. I understand that. I'd like to ask the town council, the county commissioner, anything we can do to go to the water system and see if there's any way we can get some more water pressure. I went to two tanks in the county today. One of them at Rosemead is slammed full. The one at Dinabusta, which those two would feed the town of Powellsville, it was under half. These systems work on a pressure system that the tanks should equal out. Yes, and in this tank should. I feel very confident if the tank at Universita had a full tank of water, we may get water at Possible. But now we have nothing in the tank at all. And have you got a question? Okay. All right. Third and last thing. On July 28th. In the town of Orlando, there's a new restaurant opened up in the town of Orlando. There's a wheelchair ramp that was put on these three buildings. Two of them owned by the town of Orlando, one is owned by an individual. Town of Orlando had a wheelchair ramp put on these to make these buildings wheelchair ramp accessible. My father-in-law fell off of it. There's no rails on this ramp. My father-in-law fell off of it. Has anybody ever fell off a 14-inch high piece of cement and fall in the street on your head? 18 hours after the fact, the trauma doctors in Greenville Hospital told us that my father-in-law would not survive. My father-in-law would not survive. He's at my house right now. He did survive it. The trauma doctor came in the day after. He just told us he would not survive and said, I've done this for 31 years. I've never seen anybody survive this. It does not have a way. The ADA requires a rail on both sides of this thing. This ramp is 152 feet long. If it's 6 foot long, it's required to have one. If it's 6 inches high, it's required to have one. It is 14 inches, 152 feet, and the town of Orlando is adamant. They're not going to put a rail up. They will not do it. I have contacted every agency in the state of North Carolina, and all I get is the runaround. I'm sorry, Mr. Williams, this isn't right, but we don't handle this. Call so-and-so. And I'm at the same point I was the first day I called the first one. I went to the county inspections later that day. And to find out the county does it, don't they start, their inspections start at the door. Nobody has ever inspected a wheelchair ramp in 13 County. Never been inspected. When it happened, I went to the building, called up here to get a list of the requirements for a wheelchair ramp. They couldn't give it to me. They don't have it. I called the inspector up. The lady told me, call the inspector, maybe he's got it. No, sir, I ain't got it. I'll have to get back with you. I said, let me ask you one question. I said, they did $40,000 worth of work to this building prior to this last lady moving in. I said, when one person left and another opened another business up, were you required to inspect this building? No, sir, I didn't, and I don't think I was required to, is what I was told. I went straight to the building, and I got it on my phone where he inspected the building. Well, I was getting nowhere, so I went to the lady, Miss White, this inspection, head of inspections. She seemed very sympathetic at first. Oh, this don't seem right, but I don't know who inspects it. Nobody knows who does these inspections. She promised me she'd call me back. I haven't heard a word from nobody. This is unacceptable in this county. There is not a wheelchair ramp in this county that has ever been inspected. The town of Orlando got grant money in around 1990 to put in incubators, small business incubators. I wasn't doing it.
Mr. Spartan, you made several points here, and I want to try to address those because you may know more. First of all, on the front tabs, we have public hearings on the front tabs, we put information in the newspaper, we put information on every site. We have tried our very best, and we have a packed house when people come. So, but what you're asking for is additional information so that you can understand it. We'd be happy to give you that. That's not a problem for them. I think we can check that off. The other thing is, when I deal with Powellsville, Orlando, you got to understand that these are municipalities. They control the territory or the area that they control, right? Let's deal with the Powellsville issue. First of all, they are independent township. They control their water system. We had an interconnect valve from the county to power, as we do to most of the municipalities. In cases just like that, if something happens, we can then at least get water there, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we're planning to make
sure they're on. I've checked.
Yes, sir. And the pressure that we were given to them in that pipe was pressure equal to what they were getting before. It's a fighting fire, but as far as that water service for them. But it's the town of Powellsville's decision as to whether or not.
I understand that, sir. I understand that.
We can't say to them, we're going to fill your tank if they don't want the tank. So your comment needs to be taken to the commission.
I have been there. Yes, sir.
These are great suggestions. And if they want that, they can make that request to the county.
Well, I just wanted this body to realize what was going on. Firefighting in this county is a very important thing. And these are volunteer firemen in this county. When you get that to fight a fire and you ain't got no water, but like I said a while ago, the fire, The fire chief dropped the ball. The Powell's town council has dropped the ball. It is unacceptable to be without water to fight fire anywhere for 6 months.
I think everybody would agree with you on that. But what I would make to you is that we don't have that authority. So
I didn't think you did, but I just wanted you to be aware of what's happened.
We're appreciating bringing such. And the same thing is true on my land. And I can't tell you what the regulations say about who does the wheelchair. I have no idea. But I can tell you what, I think the first place to start is with the town of Atlanta, since this facility is there in there now. If they choose not to do that in their town, they have a right to do that. They report to the citizens. So if the citizens of Atlanta accept the fact that they don't want to have this, then, I mean, the county can't, address that. Now, if it is, in fact, and I don't know this, who handles the inspection of wheelchair ramps, we can certainly look into that.
It needs to be looked into. State fire marshal says it's up. If you don't have a fire marshal in the county or detained, it's up to the county inspectors to inspect this stuff.
Well, we have a fire marshal under contract. And we do that. We do have that.
He needs to inspect it.
Right.
So I asked.
Right. But who asked for that inspection? Is that out of Orlando or is that the Burton County who's responsible? I don't know the
answer. To the chairman, this gentleman's called me also. I spoke to him, I talked to the reference to all this. I know what the code is. And it is 42 inches bigger than width. It's a 112 pitch, you know where the ramp is. It's supposed to have a handrail that goes up the side of the ramp. There is a 12 inch drop off. He said 15 inches.
It's 13 inches.
Who's authority is it going to be to regulate that?
It would be the county inspector. When they built that ramp, somebody should have been called.
It's never been inspected.
I'm not asking for the inspection. I'm asking who's authority is to require that ramp be built.
ADA, American Disabilities Act.
Is that enforced on the
Department of Justice?
It would be the
Department of Justice.
The municipality would be the ones that built the ramp, okay? And then they would call an inspection.
Hey, municipality has the authority to authorize the building of that ramp. We will inspect it, but we don't have the authority to say that, yes, build a ramp.
I realize that.
So the place to start is with them saying, yes, we want our land, and we'll be happy to inspect it. But we cannot give that authority.
Is that not the inspector's job?
But
give it if you build a house in Bertie County tomorrow and put a front porch on it, are you not required to have a railroad on it? Who inspects it?
It's not a question of inspection, sir. If you're doing it in the county has authority to authorize it. If you're doing it in a municipality, the municipality must authorize it. We'll do the inspection, but we don't authorize it for a municipality. Am I correct on that, sir?
It's been there since 2012. This ramp's been through since 2012. We've been through 9 inspectors since then. Nobody's ever inspected. And the lady told me, "said I didn't know we were required to." Who inspects it? I mean, who's supposed to inspect it?
You know that Burton County, we do the inspections at the request of the municipality. All they have to do is say.
Is there a difference in the municipality and a homeowner?
The homeowner's in the county, it's a county problem.
If a homeowner requests inspection, I don't know if no folks that would request an inspection.
If the homeowner is in the town, yes.
Thank you for your time.
No, thank you. All right, good luck. Any other comments? All right, Joe, any from online?
We don't have any online Zoom comments, Chairman.
Okay, right. Then I think we have closed session, so if I hear a motion to go into closed session.
I think we're going to close session.
I guess our statute, Paul, I'm going to get
someone to General Statute
NCGS 143-318.11A35 and 6.
Mm-hmm. Wait, yeah,
that one.
I second his motion.
We are now back in open session.
Yeah. And I just have 2 minutes.
I'm going to go first. Yeah.
You there?
Yes, I am.
Can I talk to anybody in waiting?
I sure can.
Is anybody waiting?
Yes, there's two individuals and they're coming back in with everyone now. We are all together.
Okay, let us know where they are in.
They're in now. We're all together.
Right. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being patient with us. We're now out of closed session. I will recognize the Commissioner White.
So I had a phone call from an entity in Mercy County who asked about they had towed a vehicle for the sheriff's department 2 years ago, so it's not the same sheriff. They have not gotten a vehicle, and I just told them I would mention it today. I can get with you, but they didn't get the towing cost. They held the, yes, they were the impound for the person as well, which didn't make sense to me if they towed for the sheriff's department. The bill's about $14,000 total. And he's not going to work with the sheriff's department anymore after this. So,
yeah.
People act accordingly. I'll get with you.
Take it all. Thank you. Any other matters before the board? Okay. Anything else? Okay. Motion to adjourn.
Thank you.
So, probably second. All in favor of adjourn, say aye. Okay. I have it. We're adjourned. Thank you.
The other one is, I need to check and make sure that the debt is certain that the call is on. It's on.